الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد،
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قد وصلنا في دروس السيرة
النبوية
المشرفة
of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
إلى الحديث عن الغزوة السابعة والعشرين، هي الغزوة الأخيرة من غزوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم،
غزوة تبوك.
هذه الغزوة تسمى غزوة العسرة،
this battle also is named
وتسمى
the
الفاضحة.
تسمى
العسرة
tribulation or
تسمى الفاضحة.
And it also is called
هذه الغزوة
the revealer.
نزل بشأنها يعني
or the scandalous revealer.
التوبة أنزلت بشأنها.
And the majority of the ayahs in Surah At-Tawbah
covered
this battle.
فضح المنافقين، لهذا سميت الفاضحة.
سورة التوبة
التي نزل بشأنها سميت أيضا الفاضحة،
revealed the hypocrites and what they did and what they said during, before and after this battle. That is why the battle of Tabuk is called the scandal revealer, meaning it revealed the hypocrites on the way they are and the truth of them.
مدينة تبوك.
The reason this battle is called Tabuk
بينها
is
وبين
it
مكة
occurred in the
14
city of
مرحلة المسافة.
And the city of Tabuk is far from Mecca, about 14 stages. And the stage is called a stage is defined by being 24 miles long, which is the march of one day.
المرحلة 24 ميلا.
So a stage is
24
miles.
هي تعادل إيه مسيرة يوم.
And a stage is also equivalent to the march of one day.
إذا قالوا مسيرة
so if the scholars
يوم
say
وليلة أو مسيرة يومين.
March of a day and night or a march of two days.
48 ميلا.
That would be 48 miles. And if the scholars say and describe it, a distance by مسيرة يوم, meaning the march of one day, that means it is 24 miles away. And that is taken into consideration the speed of camels, horses, and the marching person or man in a caravan.
كانوا يقطعون هذه المسافة في اليوم.
So caravans are usually are on footsteps.
يعني واصلوا
and the scholars figured a stage
or
calculated a stage equaling 24 miles.
So
the city of Tabuk is 14 stages away from Mecca.
وبينها وبين دمشق 11
Tabuk is
وهي آخر غزوة غزاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بنفسه.
And this is the last battle that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has led himself. This is the last battle he led. And the enemy in this battle is the Romans. And the Romans were led by their Caesar. And Caesar is a description of the king of the Romans. Whomever becomes the king of the Romans is labeled or named Caesar. And the king of the Romans himself led the Romans in this battle. The Caesar.
فقيصر الروم اسمه هرقل. جهز النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم prepared the army, and the army was big. And the number of this army, as narrated, consisted of 30,000 companion,
30,000
and that force, and that force consisted also consisted of 10,000 knights, if you will, or horsemen.
لكن يعني التقدير الذي في أكثر كتب السيرة أنهم نحو
the estimation in the majority of the books of the seerah is 30,000 soldiers.
قال كانوا أكثر من 10,000 وليس للناس ديوان حافظ. في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان هناك تعداد يعني للجنود يسجلون فيه وثائق يعني يسجلون فيها أسماء الجنود وكذا، فلذلك كان العدد تقديريا. فالإمام ابن مالك كانوا أكثر من 10,000 وغيره قال 30,000.
The army consisted of more than 10,000 men, and the reason I'm saying to more than 10,000 men is because of those days there was no narration of the number. And people did not take statistics and numbers, and soldiers did not register when they went into a battle.
طبعا هرقل هذا يعني تمهيدا يعني قبل الدخول في احداث الغزوة.
Before we discuss the battle any further,
كان نصرانية. ديانة الروم كانت ديانة نصرانية.
The Caesar was Christian.
كانت يعني
and the religion and the faith of the Romans is Christianity.
كانت عاصمة يعني مملكة الروم.
And the capital of the Roman Empire at that time in that area was Homs in Syria today. The Romans ruled Egypt, Mesopotamia, Turkey.
يحكمون يعني أجزاء كبيرة من
and they ruled
العالم.
Vast areas and vast regions, and they were the superpower at that time, along with the Persians. And the Persians and the Romans fought continuously. There were two equal forces at that time, the two superpowers of that time. Before the Messenger of Allah went into this battle, the Romans have defeated the Persians
وكان هرقل يعني نذر لله تعالى
in a big battle.
يذهب من حمص إلى إيليا إلى بيت المقدس على قدمي شكرا لله يعني
to God that if God granted him victory over the Persians that he would walk on foot from
حمص
their capital in Syria all the way to Eilat which is the city in Palestine.
وفي نفس الوقت كان عالما من
So Caesar was one of the scholars, one of the Christian scholars or the Roman scholars. He was a religious man, he was also a scholar, and he also studied immensely the science of astrology and the stars.
فهذا هرق. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قد بعث إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رسالة يدعوه فيها إلى الإسلام.
بعث إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رسالة يدعوه إلى الإسلام.
ووصلت إليه الرسالة وهو في إلياء بعدما كان انتصر على الفرس
وذهب ماشيا إلى إلياء
وكذا
وصلت إليه الرسالة after he was fulfilling the promise he made to God
لما عرف أن هذه الرسالة
by walking from
محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وكذا
he received this letter in Eilat
وصلت إليه في فترة صلح الحديبية
and this letter يعني reached him during the era or the time of the Al-Hudaybiyah Treaty in the 7th year of Al-Hijra that treaty that happened between the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the Muslims and the Kuffar in Quraysh in Mecca
ذهبوا إلى غزة بقيادة يعني أبي سفيان ومعه 30 رجلا من
قريش يشتغلون ببائع caravan of trade. They were in Gaza.
هرقل قال
Gaza city as we know today. They were in Gaza in their trade.
حتى تأتوني بناس من قوم هذا الرجل الذي يزعم أنه نبي.
When Caesar received this letter, he asked for people that know this man, know Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to come to his palace so he can interrogate
them.
And the Roman soldiers went out to the city looking for people from Mecca, from Arabia that know the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they collected them and gathered them and took them to Caesar. Caesar stood them up one by one and started asking them. Among them was Abu Sufyan, the leader of Quraysh. So Caesar asked Abu Sufyan, have you tried this man being a liar? Have you ever caught him in a lie?
سألهم هل يغدر؟ قالوا لا يغدر.
He asked him if he backstabs
or betrays.
And Abu Sufyan said that we've never tried him to be a liar. He is not a backstabber. And we are living during a truce or a treaty between us and them, with the Muslims.
وسألهم هل كان أحد من آبائه
Caesar also asked
هل كان من آبائه
أبو سفيان did one of his fathers or did he have fathers and grandfathers that were kings أشرافهم
قالوا ضعفاؤهم
they said no
وبعد أن يعني اكتملت الأسئلة يعني بين هرقل يعني أن هذه المواصفات التي ذكروها عن النبي هي صفات الرسل
said that these are
الرسل
the qualities of prophets and messengers
يعني قرئ عليه كتاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
the letter from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was read to
الله عليه وسلم وكذا وجمع بطارقته وأسمعهم
and Caesar collected his priests
صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال لبطارقته يا قومي هل أدلكم على الفلاح والرشد وأن يثبت ملككم فتبايعوا صحيح البخاري
and towards going to keep us and keep our wealth and kingdom
أبو سفيان هرقل يعني قال له إيه يعني إن ملكه إيه سيتم ولا يملكن موضع قدمي هاتين.
And Caesar before reading that told يملكن موضع قدمي. Told Abu Sufyan and the people around him.
وكذا
this Muhammad is going to own where I stand.
هل أدلكم على الفلاح والرشد وأي يثبت من
And then he continued, do you want me to guide you and lead you to success?
فحاصوا حيث تحمر الوحش وهرعوا إلى
Follow this man.
الأبواب
and we will maintain our
يقول إن
kingdom.
يعني ارتد عن دينهم وكذا فكان اخذ لذلك عقدته وغلق ابواب
shocked did not want to hear that and he read from the Arabic language
الى الابواب
and they started looking for excuses to leave the palace
فنكص على عقله وقال ايه
and he sensed that the priests are trying to turn against him so he called for the doors to be locked and he got
هذه الاسئله عن اردت فقط ان اختبر ايمانكم
and ولقد رايت unfortunately for him he
فكان يعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو النبي الخاتم
الذي بشر به on what he actually wanted to do and told his priest I was only testing you
قال لو
to
كان
see
أمري
if
بيدي.
this is something that will affect you or not and as a result of him saying those words they nailed in front of him
قال لو كان أمري بيدي لذهبت أغسل تحت رجلي
and Caesar was quoted if I was the decision maker without any consequences I would have gone to Muhammad and washed his feet for being the king that he will be and the king that he is
وشعر أنهم سيخلعونه من الملك
he felt that his people led by his priests will dethrone him and take away his power
إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني هم جهز جيش لقتال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جهز جيشا لقتال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك وجاء يعني في أحداث غزوة تبوك أن هرقل بعث رسولا من قبله إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اسمه التنوخي التنوخي وهذا الرجل أسلم بعد ذلك بعد
وفاة
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسلم فهو التقى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مشركا في
Caesar also sent a messenger named التنوخي
التقى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
to the messenger to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and this man this messenger التنوخي became Muslim he was Christian
بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and he became Muslim after the death of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
تابعيا لا يعد الصحابي لانه
so he's considered a
تابعي ورى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لانه لم يؤمن في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو تابعي رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن
so this تنوخي صار
تنوخي جاء من قبل هرقل
and he was a messenger of Caesar to
بلغ رسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني فيها هرقل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and the letter
أنا على دينك هرقل يقول للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and the letter to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from Caesar said
وهو
مجهز جيش follow your religion
كل هذا الكلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كذا بعد هو على دين قومي قال كذب عدو الله
and he at the same time was preparing an army to fight the
Muslims. هذه المواقف المتنافسة
صلى الله عليه وسلم after reading that or after hearing that from the messenger of Caesar said
جعلت
Caesar like he is on the faith of his people.
مثل الحافظ ابن عبد البر رحمه الله
some scholars like الحافظ ابن عبد البر said that Caesar became Muslim secretly.
لكن يعني غلبه حب الدنيا
other scholars say that he became Muslim secretly but the love of this life in this dunya, dissuade him and from following Islam.
يعني هذا من الكفر العملي، يعني الإسلام لا يكفي فيه
الإيمان،
يعني لا يكفي فيه التصديق القلبي، يعني هو واضح من سيرته
أنه مصدق القلبي،
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
believing in Islam in your heart and fighting it in all actuality to the point of putting it at a point of danger is
كفر
is not Islam.
كيف يعني يتصور أنه
how would you be a Muslim secretly and in reality preparing of one of the biggest armies in the history of the world to fight this religion, this faith.
ليس بمسلم. هذا موقف هرقل. فهرقل جهز جيشا ضخما من 120 ألف
مقاتل لمحاربة النبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
كانت
الأخبار يعني وصلت إلى المدينة بأن جيش الروم يعني يوشك أن يهاجم المدينة في أي لحظة. جيش الروم يعني يوشك أن يهاجم المدينة في أي لحظة، حتى أن الإيه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم إذا سمعوا يعني تلك الأثناء إذا سمعوا يعني جلبة خارج المدينة أو كذا كان أول ما يتوقعون أنه جيش هرقل وكذا
يعني هجوم جيش هرقل على
المدينة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
تنكر أنهم من
العدة لقتال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي تلك الأثناء المنافقون بدأ يعني
بنوا
مسجد الضرار وتآمروا مع رجل من شريك قريش اسمه أبو عامر الراهب،
and they conspired
كان صديقا لهرقل
وتنصر
وكان يعني
or named أبو عامر الراهب who was
يعني يزور هرقل وكذا
an ally of the Caesar.
يعني فالمنافقون يرجع يعني إلى مكة وكذا، فالمنافقون جهزوا هذا المسجد
وواعدوا
أبا عامر الراهب هذا. لو تذكرون أبو عامر الراهب هذا هو الذي حفر في غزوة أحد، حفر حفرا
and this Abu Amir al-Rahib was the one if you remember when we covered in the battle of Uhud this Abu Amir al-Rahib was the one that was the one that dug those deep walls and trenches all over scattered all over the battlefield and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم fell in one of them and broke his cheekbones. So Abu Amir al-Rahib was an ally to Caesar.
فيكون المنافقون لهم إيه مكان للتجمع
and the hypocrites in the Medina made a deal with them that as soon as he finds out how close Caesar is to the Medina that he will notify them so they would be in a safe area away from the Medina
ويكيدون للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
so that Caesar and his army will destroy Islam and the Muslims and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
طلبوا من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يصلي فيه صلاة حتى ينال المشروعية، يعني يصبح مسجدا صلى فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لا أحد يعني a مسجد in Medina
على ما يفعل.
And they asked the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to pray in it.
صلى الله عليه وسلم خبرهم.
So to legitimize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with
ayahs
from the Quran that
جعل مكانه مزبلة أكرمك والله مكانه
this is a mosque that is meant to destruct the mosque that was built in true faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the purpose of this mosque is to divide Muslims and fight the Muslims and fight Islam. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم as a result of this ayah demolished this masjid and made it a wasteland or a trash land.
فتجمعت الروم بالشام مع هرقل فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه بالتأهب
لرسلهم
وكان ذلك في شدة الحرب وجدب
من البلاد.
كانت هذه الغزوة في
the preparation was taking place it was during the summer
شديد
in extreme heat
يعني قلة يعني زاد
and time of shortage.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يخرج لغزوة ورى بغيرها يعني لم يعلمهم ب يعني صراحة بالمكان الذي يريد
صلى الله عليه وسلم in his habit or in his strategy of preparing for war he would never inform the Muslims as to the direction or
where they're headed.
He would prepare them for battle and not tell them where they're headed.
يعني أخذا بالأسباب
just to make sure to protect his army from spies
أن يفاجئ الأعداء بالهجوم
and to surprise enemies.
لكن هذه الغزوة بينها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للناس لبعد المشقة وكثرة العدد لبعد المشقة
the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم informed his army informed his companions that they are heading to fight the Romans because this was a long distance fight a fight that will require long distance
and also will mean
facing a great army
قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل لك العام في جلاد بني الأصفر هل لك العام في جلاد بني الأصفر وبنو الأصفر هم الايه الروم يعني أبو سفيان لما التقى بهرقل قال ايه قال لقد أمر أمر ابن أبي كبشة إن ملك بني الأصفر لا يخافه أو
أبو سفيان when met Caesar
after meeting Caesar in Gaza هل لك العام في جلاد بني الأصفر تخرج السنة تقاتل بني الأصفر
that Muhammad has become
فقال يا رسول الله
Caesar of
Rome is
calculating how he's going to attack or not attack
فلقد عرف قومي أنه ما من رجل أشد عجبا بالنساء مني وإني أخشى إن رأيت نساء بني الأصفر
One of the hypocrites when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told him to prepare for this war
فأعرض عنه النبي صلى الله
عليه وسلم said Oh Messenger, oh Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم do you think you are good enough now to face and fight the Romans I would help you and I would go out and take my men with you but I have a problem and my problem is I love women and I'm afraid if I see the woman then I will go to their camp
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم left him alone
and walked away from
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورغبته بنفسه عن الخروج مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال بعض المنافقين لبعض لا تنفروا في الحرب لا تنفروا في الحرب
said that we don't
يزهدون الناس للخروج للجهاد ويثبطونهم
during hard
الله تعالى وقالوا لا تنفروا في الحرب
and they walked around the city telling other people what are you doing preparing to go for battle during this
siege?
And there is no need to go out and fight right now. Well, let's wait for it to cool down.
ثم إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ يحض الناس على
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
يعني على الصدقة وعلى تجهيز هذا الجيش.
Also started to push people to contribute financially, monetarily for this war. And those times there was lack of rain, lack of food, crops were short.
فأكثر من
صلى الله عليه وسلم started to push people towards giving.
جهز معظم الجيش وعثمان بن عفان
to prepare the
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. ورد في الحديث يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يعني فوعد
in the hadith Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم stood
الانفاق في سبيل الله
and gave a lecture and started to push people and asked them to contribute
بعير لأحلاسها وأقتابها
عثمان بن عفان was the first to stand up and said I will cover 100 camels with everything that puts on their back
الزمام الذي يقدم
as far as food and water and what a soldier would need. Then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم got up again and pushed and asked again. And Uthman ibn Affan stood up again and said, O Messenger of Allah, I will cover 100 camels with their load. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم continued doing that and Uthman did that 9 times. He prepared 900 camels with their load and supplies and he also gave contributed 1,000 dinars at that time عبد الرحمن بن عوف
ماله كان نصف ماله.
عبد الرحمن بن عوف contributed with 2,000
درهم
and that was half of his wealth, half of what he owned.
وعمر رضي الله عنه قال تصدق يومئذ بمئة أوقية. الأوقية اللي 12 درهم حوالي 120 درهم يعني. وكان
عمر بن الخطاب contributed 120 pounds, which was the majority of what he owned.
فلما تصدق عبد الرحمن درهم عبد الرحمن بن عوف بألفي درهم في نفس الوقت يعني جاء رجلان من الأنصار
وين عبد الرحمن بن عوف
صاع من التمر صاع اللي هو
two men from the Ansar came and he wanted to and he was on his way to contribute 4 pounds of dates
يعني لا أملك إيه ليس عندي يعني لأهلي وكذا إلا صاعان تصدقت بصاعين.
And he came to the Messenger of Allah and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I only have two. I have eight pounds of days. I'm gonna keep 4 pounds to my family and 4 pounds for you."
قالوا هذا مرائم ولا يزول هذا.
The hypocrite said, "This man is a show."
بصاع من تم ضحكوا منه وقالوا إن الله عن صاع هذا لغني.
When the hypocrite say Saul, Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf give 2,000 of his wealth, 2,000 pounds to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was half of what he owned, they said, what a show off, and they started laughing or ridiculing him among themselves. And when this poor man came with 4 pounds of dates, they were snickering. And say, Allah Almighty does not need this man's, this poor man's 4 pounds. So they were ridiculing the rich and the poor, ridiculing anybody that contribute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the situation in Surah Khattaba as well. The hypocrites started and kept giving excuses to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for not giving and for not going out for battle. The Mu'mins did not go to the battle and in them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended ayahs in the Quran describing their situation. So the hypocrite refused to go out and refused to give and kept giving lame excuses to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out with the man that came out
with him.
The Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam came عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول
on the first gate away يعني from المدينة
جعل له
towards
معسكرا مستقلا
Damascus.
عن معسكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول had a camp separate
away
from the camp of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
أن معسكر عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول قال وكان فيما يزعمون ليس بأقل العسكرين يعني يروى أن معسكر عبد الله بن
سلول يعني the camp of عبد الله بن أبي سلول
عدد يعني كبير حتى يعني
contained more men than the camp of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning the hypocrites.
فلما سار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تخلف عن عبد الله بن أبي من تخلف من أهل الري. لما بدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السير بدأ
when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم started the march.
فعلها قبل ذلك لو تذكرون في غزوة أحد بدأ يعني في أول الغزوة خرج مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As we remember, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul did the same thing in the Battle of Uhud.
وقال يعني
went out
أطاع معصاني وكذا وراح رجع ثلث الجيش.
Which was one third of the army at that time in the Battle of Uhud and withdrew in the halfway to Mecca to Uhud.
وبعدين بعد ذلك تخلف ورجع.
Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul took his men or the men that were in his camp and left the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Muslims and went back. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم put Ali ibn Abi Talib as the Emir in Medina to watch over the affairs of the Medina as long as the Messenger is away.
فقال المنافقون ما خلفهم
so the hypocrites started talking and saying the reason the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم left Ali behind is because he didn't want him to come with him.
سوء الظن بالمؤمنين. فقالوا ما خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليا الا استثقالا له. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحب عليا.
And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم left him behind because he doesn't love him. And he doesn't want him around. And he doesn't want his effect and his company around his man.
فأتى علي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
علي بن أبي طالب went to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and told them what people are saying.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كذب لكن خلفتك لما تركت ورائي فارجع فخلفني
I left you behind because of the value of what I left behind.
بمنزلة هارون من موسى
isn't it good enough for you to be in the same status of Harun as Harun was to Moses.
وقال له إنه يعني من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنزلة هارون من موسى.
You are to me as Moses as Harun was to Moses.
ولا تتبع
هارون was to موسى.
لكن قال إلا أنه لا نبي بعد هارون كان نبيا بعد موسى لكن.
But the main difference between me and Musa is that there is no messenger or prophet that comes after me. I left you behind. I left you for the leadership of Medina because of the value of what I'm leaving in the Medina.
طبعا هنا يعني مقصود الاستخلاف هنا استخلافه على المدينة لأن الروافض يعني يتمسكون بهذا الحديث.
The Rawafid sect used this incident.
يعني أنه وصية من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Used this incident to say that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم left him behind because he wants him to be the Emir after him. Meaning after the death of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger is sending a message to the Muslims that after I die, Ali is the Khalifa, Ali is the ruler. So Rawafid sect to this day use this incident to support their claim that Ali was supposed to be the Amir instead of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq after the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم يعني قالوا يعني أيضا من ردود أهل السنة أن قالوا حتى يعني هذا الحديث لما قال أنت مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى.
Scholars
هارون لم يكن هو خليفة.
Scholars say that this hadith, when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم described Ali as being the status of Harun to Musa, Harun was a prophet just like Musa. And was not is not
ثم إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصل إلى
as the Rawafid are claiming
التي فيها ديار ثمود التي فيها ديار
anyway,
ثمود قوم نبي الله
the Muslim army marched to the area of the people of Thamud and
الجبال
and to this day the area of Thamud still exists with the houses as they are after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devastated that area to punish the people of Thamud. People of Thamud used to sculpt and
كانوا يشربون منها
ومنها البئر to build their castles.
يقال له بئر الناق.
And in that area was a well.
مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في طريقه.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and his
على
الحج. And the companions passed by that
سجى ثوبه على وجهه واستحث راحلته. يعني
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم as soon as he reached this area covered his face with his clothes and
وقال لا تدخلوا بيوت الذين ظلموا إلا وأنتم باكون خوفا من أن يصيبكم ما أصابهم
not to march through this area
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشربوا من ماء بئرهم ولا تتوضأوا منه وما من عجيب عجنتم فعرفوه النابح ولا تأكلوا
منه
كان الصحابة عجل عجيبا
even if they use their water to make bread or to make that bread and give it to the animals. The Messenger instructed them to throw it away. not to even use it in wudu.
فأصبح الناس لا ماء معهم فأرسل الله تعالى سحابة
so people or the army had at that point had no water with them. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم despite that ordered them not to drink and not to take any water.
دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ربه.
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم supplicated in that area and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support them with water and provide them with water. And one of the miracles of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in that area is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a spring in that area that provided them with water. That they used and drank and took away
with
them. One of the evidence in this area also is that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم lost his camel and the companions went out looking for it, and the hypocrite started saying, doesn't he claim that he is a messenger and isn't he supposed to know where his camel is at? And this is from their ignorance, of course, because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم does not know the unknown. He only knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches him and tells him. He does not know the unknown in the future.
أوحى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him and showed him the place of this camel.
صلى الله عليه وسلم بما قاله المنافق.
And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
told him
what these people said.
والله لا أعلم إلا ما علمني الله. وقد دلني الله عليها وهي
And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم went out to these people and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches me and tells me, and I know nothing other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches me and tells me. But in any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told me that my camel is in this area, and the reins of my camel is stuck on a tree that looks like this. Describe it to them. And the companions went out to the place that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم described and brought his camel and came back with
it.
And on his way, on this march, men were dropping one by one by one.
فيقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تخلف فلان فيقول عليه الصلاة والسلام دعوه فإن يك فيه خير فسيلحقه الله بكم وإن يك غير ذلك.
The companions come to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, come to him and tell him, so and so has left. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم would reply, if this is someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide him back to us, and he will catch up with us. If this is someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want with us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done us a favor of keeping him away from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم the names and the who among the hypocrites. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم does not know all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him and taught him about certain ones.
هناك منافقون من أهل المدينة ومنافقون من الأعراب لا يعلمون.
There was hypocrites among the Arabs and there was إلا ما يظن among dwellers in the Medina. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم knew some of them. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم always assumed the best in all of the Muslims around him.
إلا أناسا منهم أطلعه الله تعالى عليهم وأسر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأسمائهم إلى حذيفة.
And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم trusted this secret with حذيفة بن اليمان, and he told them.
وصل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى
تبوك. حذيفة بن اليمان. Who was the secret keeper of the Messenger
صلى الله عليه وسلم. لم يحصل
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم reached to the area of Tabuk.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصل إلى تبوك دب الرعب في جيش الروم. الروم كانوا في الشام.
The Romans were in الشام أو in Mesopotamia.
الحدود السياسية السابقة في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت الروم تعتبر جزءا من الشام. تبوك تعتبر جزءا من الشام.
So Tabuk is considered a part of Mesopotamia because it was in the reigns of the Romans.
يعني تبدأ من
the borders of the Romans territory.
وهذه قبل تبوك يعني تعتبر من الشام. تيماء وما فوقها شمالا يعتبر من الشام. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصل إلى
the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم reached to this area, Tabuk, which is in the reign and in the territory of the Romans.
وصل إلى تبوك. في تلك الأثناء الجيش الذي كان مع هرقل بدأوا يتسربون منه. كان جمع 120,000
بدأوا يتسربون من and when they found out that Muhammad is coming to them started to reconsider and started to withdraw as well.
عدم مهاجمة
الجيش. Caesar decided not to attack the army, the Muslim army.
يتفرقون عنه لما شعروا.
His army was divided into different sects and groups, and they started.
ثم إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بدأ يجري معاهدات.
And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he reached that area and no battle happened and no war happened, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم started to send letters and messengers to rulers of areas and cities in that area. And those rulers were under the rule of the Romans, under the rule of Caesar, were loyal to Caesar. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم started sending them letters and messengers to introduce them to Islam and to make them allies. And they were all Christians in that area.
تبوك أتاه يحنة بن رؤبة صاحب أيلة.
In Tabuk came to him يحنة بن رؤبة, who was the king.
أيلة يعني يقال إنها مدينة إيلات التي تسمى الآن إيلات.
Who is the king of إيلة؟
يعني في فلسطين المحتلة. يقال إنها إيلات أو يعني حولها يعني.
Which is إيلات in Palestine, in occupied Palestine.
هذه المنطقة على ساحل البحر الأحمر.
So the king of إيلات
جاء إلى النبي صلى الله
عليه وسلم. His name is يحنة بن رؤبة. And he made a truce and a treaty with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صالحة جاء هو الملك أيلة.
And he paid الجزية.
وكان نصرانيا. فجاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصالحه وعقد معه مصالحة.
So he made a treaty and a truce.
وعهد بدفع الجزية للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Or he made a promise to pay الجزية.
وأتاه أهل جرداء وأزرح.
Also
أيضا مدينتان من مدن الشام.
The city of جرداء.
يعني أتاه
وفود أزرح.
يعني من قبل حكامها.
Committees of those two cities came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم wrote to them.
وصالح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Wrote to them asking them to have a treaty with them and to be allied with them. And they both sent groups or committees to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم accepting his alliance and pledging to pay al-jizya to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Muslims sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Muslims led by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني وهو معسكر في
the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خالد بن الوليد إلى أكيدر دومة منطقة دومة
بن الوليد to the king of Dumat al-Jandal.
الآن في حدود الأردن ولا في السعودية؟ حدود الأردن.
And Dumat al-Jandal is an area on the borders of Saudi Arabia.
يعني ملك الحبشة يقال له.
So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Khalid ibn al-Walid to the king of Dumat al-Jandal. And Dumat al-Jandal is an area on the borders of Saudi Arabia today. Jordan, Saudi Arabia today.
فبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يعني معسكر لجيشه في تبوك.
As the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was camping in Tabuk.
رضي الله عنه إلى أكيدر دومة وهو رجل من كندة كان ملكا عليها.
And this man was from an area called كندة.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لخالد بن الوليد
he was Christian.
تجده يتصيد البقر.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told خالد بن الوليد you will find him hunting.
وصلت إليه ستجد إيه
when you reach that area of Dumat al-Jandal you will find them hunting
فخرج حتى
zebras or cows.
إذا كان من حسنه بمنظر العين وصل إيه خالد بن الوليد رضي الله عنه حتى صار يعني
خالد بن الوليد
الأكيدر
marched
يعني بمرأة
to the orders of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to that area
في ليلة مقمرة.
And in one night,
الأكيدر على سطح الحصن في تلك الليلة.
As Khalid bin Walid was camped outside the forts of the kingdom of
فباتت البقر تحك بقرونها باب القصر. جاء البقر.
Khalid bin Walid was camping away from the forts, watching the forts. And he saw one night he saw the king and his wife at a window, top window, the highest window in the fort. He saw the king and his wife outside,
rearing their heads outside the window,
seeing those wild animals,
itching
their horns with the doors of the fort. The wife of the king said to her husband, spoke to her husband with shock, how could I have never ever seen wild animals come to us? Now usually we'd go out, hunt them for days until we find them. These animals are at our door.
The king said,
so how do you expect me to let them be? The king ordered and asked, demanded his horses and went out hunting.
فلقيهم خير المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم خرجوا فتحوا الباب البقر ركض
so as soon as they opened the doors of the fort the animals fled and the horses
فلقيهم خير المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخذوه وقتلوا أخاه
and Khalid ibn al-Walid and his cavalry took him prisoner and killed his brother
أخاه
who fought and the name of the king was Hassan.
وكان على الأكيدر قباء ديباج قباء نوع من الثياب يعني يكون فتحته من الخلف يعني أزراره
The king was wearing
a
type of clothing that is buttoned from the back.
فخرج عليه قباء ديباج مخوص بذهب. عليه قباء
buttons from the back and the buttons were of gold.
أنواع الحرير النفيس.
It was made of silk.
مخوص
the clothing that he was wearing was silk.
فاستلبه خالد فبعث به إلى المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. خالد
sewn with gold.
وأرسله إلى
خالد took that clothing from him and sent it to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فلما وصل القباء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم
جعل المسلمون يلمسونه ويتعجبون منه
المسلمون started to touch it and they were astonished by the softness of that
الحرير الغليظ يعني سميك يعني من الحرير الغليظ السميك و يكون لونه أسود يعني غالبا
it was black in color
الذهب وكذا فجعل المسلمون يلمسونه ويتعجبون منه فقال المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم
أتعجبون منه
لمناديل سعد بن معاذ في الجنة أحسن
the handkerchiefs of سعد بن أبي
معاذ
سعد بن معاذ his handkerchiefs in heaven are even softer than this
جودة قماشه
Muslims in Medina
ثم قدم خالد على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
بأكيد
حقن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصالحه على
put the reminder is that your reward in Jannah is better and higher than this
وعقد معه مصالحة أيضا على الجزية فرجع إلى قومه
فأقام
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
بضع
عشرة ليلة
ولم
يتجاوز
signed an alliance and treaty with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered to release him and he was released
يعني مستعدا لمهاجمة المدينة والآن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصل إلى دخل بلادهم ووقف عند تبوك وانتظر بضع عشرة ليلة فلم يأتي أحد.
Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم camped in Tabuk for 11-12 days and nights in Tabuk.
صرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قافلا.
And after that he picked up his army
and
went back to Medina.
وكانت هذه مقدمة
كان المسيح صلى الله عليه وسلم
سنت
بيج مسج
دب فيهم
تو ذا مسلمز اند تو ذا كفار اند تو ذا رومز
وعقد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
that he is willing to go out to fight them and he also
among
the accomplishments is the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sent messages and sent truces and treaties with kings and monarchs in that area that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم would not have been able to if he did not go out
والعشرون من غزوات
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
نقرأ هنا الأبيات التي ذكرها المؤلف هنا يعني كان قال ففتح مكة حنين وتلا غزاة طائف تبوك وتلا منها
بتسع وذكر أسماء الغزوات ذكر
فتح مكة وحنين
counting is Fath Makkah, Hunayn,
قال قاتل منها بتسع أحد والخندق بدر بني قريظة المصطلق
Nine خيبر of these 27 wars have involved
حكوا عن قول بعض السلف بأنه قاتل في النضير وغابة وادي القرى المشهور. طيب هنا يقول يعني في ختام الحديث عن غزوات رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم describing the battles of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
27 غزوة.
He started by saying the number is 27.
هذه المعارك التي غزاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The battles that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has led and went out and participated.
ثم قال إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قاتل بنفسه عليه الصلاة والسلام في تسع غزوات.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
fought تسع غزوات.
In nine.
حصل فيها إيه؟
Meaning nine of those battles involved fighting. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم fought in them.
تسع غزوات من هذه الغزوات. وذكر أسماءها.
And he mentioned the
ثم ذكر قولا عن بعض السلف أنهم عدوا ثلاث غزوات أخرى.
قالوا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
قاتل بنفسه عليه الصلاة والسلام في 12 غزوة.
The author said that some of the Salaf have said that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم fought
12 غزوة وزادوا
fought in the siege of Bani
Nadir.
Meaning that should be considered as a battle.
ألف هنا عد الغزوات أنها 27 غزوة. بعض علماء السير يعد من ضمن الغزوات أيضا يعد منها غزوة وادي القرى.
Some scholars count also another one, غزوة وادي which is the battle of وادي القرى, which makes the number 28.
ذهب إليه المؤلف قالوا إنها تعتبر جزءا من أحداث غزوة خيبر. يعني
the scholar, the author here is saying that the battle of Wadi al-Qura is part of the battle of
Khaybar.
So some scholars say that it is a separate war, separate battle. And the author here says that it is a part of the battle of Khaybar.
نزيد يعني باختصار شيئا من التفاصيل. وادي القرى موضع قرب المدينة, المدينة بين المدينة وتبوك.
This area وادي القرى is 350 kilometers away from Medina.
كيلومتر لمنطقة إيه وادي القرى.
The area of وادي القرى.
وهي تعتبر يعني قريبة من خيبر.
And it is considered like the suburbs of Khaybar. It's not far away from Khaybar. And after the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم finished the battle of Khaybar and on his way back, on his way back from Khaybar صلى الله عليه وسلم,
مر بوادي القرى وفي جماعة من اليهود.
وادي القرى. And in it,
في وادي القرى.
And this وادي القرى means the valley of villages. And in this area was some Jews lived in that area. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sieged that area for 4 days.
وقتل منهم 11 رجلا.
And he killed of them 11 men. And the Muslims killed 11
قتل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 11 رجلا من يهود وادي القرى وغنم أموالهم وأثاثا ومتاعا كثيرا.
Took booty from that battle.
وفرقه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على المسلمين.
Weaponry.
استسلموا بعد الحصار.
After the siege.
المسلمين بعد قتل منهم من قتل وحصره.
After the siege, they gave up
أموالهم وأثاثهم وصالحهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الأرض. كان أرضهم أيضا.
They gave up, and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
صالحهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الأرض أن
an agreement or a treaty with them
يعني يبقوا في that they الأرض stay in that area ويزرعون وكذا
and they can grow and plant what they want and the condition that half of the output or half of the
ولا عليهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم put on them عمرو بن سعيد بن العاص as an emir, as a ruler in that area.
على هؤلاء اليوم يهود وادي القرى ويشرف على إيه إخراجهم الثمار وبعد.
أنا عمرو بن سعيد was to oversee.
كانت أحداث وادي القرى في طريق عودة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر مستقل.
So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did not go out to this battle specifically to go to this battle. Messenger of Allah prepared his army for Khaybar. And some scholars consider this as one of the forts of Khaybar. For if you remember when we discussed the Battle of Khaybar, Khaybar was consistent of a big number of forts that the Messenger of Allah and the army of the Muslims took them one by one. So some of the scholars consider this battle of Wadi al-Qura as a fort of the forts of Khaybar. And other scholars consider it as a battle of its own, of itself. Because the Messenger had besieged it for 4 days and fought and collected booty out of it and set up and sent an agreement to give them truce in return for crops. And the Messenger would let them be in that area and not confiscate their crops and on that condition. Some scholars also add the battle of Mu'ta. And as you know, the Messenger did not lead and participate in Mu'ta. But other Sira scholars consider this as one of the battles.
والذين عدوها من الغزوات يعني قالوا للسببين السبب الأول
and the reason
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم روح إليه
is that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was inspired by the events of that battle as if he was witnessing it himself. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was describing the battlefield in Mu'ta to the companions in the Medina. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was inspired by everything and he could see the battlefield and he was telling them so and so is dying, is dead and so took the banner and so is fighting. And the number of the Muslim army at that battle was 3,000. And those scholars are saying the number of the army or the cavalry that go out in a Syria, meaning a battle that the Messenger does not lead, the number does not exceed 400. And the number of the Muslims in that battle was 3,000. So that's the second reason they counted Mu'ta as a battle that the Messenger has led or participated in. So some scholars consider it a battle for those two reasons. As for the battles that the Messenger fought in,
والخندق
وبدر الخندق بدر
وبني قريظة غزوة
بني قريظة
غزوة بني المصطلق
بني المصطلق
وخيبر
خيبر
والفتح وحنين والطائف الفتح وحنين
وحنين and الطائف
هذه تسع غزوات
these are nine battles
الشارح هنا بيقول سبع غزوات ثلاث الفتح وحنين
the author here says seven but and he did not mention مكة and حنين and there was battle and there was fighting
بعض السلف قالوا ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قاتل في غزوة بني النضير ايضا
some of the salaf scholars say that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم وغزوة الغابة in بني النضير
ما هي غزوة الغابة
and the battle of
الغابة هي غزوة ذي قرد
and the battle of وادي القرى
اللي هي الغزوة التاسعة عشرة من غزوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غزوة ذي قرد
يقال لها أيضا غزوة الغابة
هذا اسم آخر لغزوة ذي قرد
Battle of Ghaba is also called the Battle of Qarad and that is number 19 of the battles that we discussed and it is 6 kilometers away from Medina
نفسها اللي هي الغزوة التاسعة عشرة هي يقال لها
which is about 4 miles away from Medina
فقيل أيضا أن غزوة الغابة قاتل فيها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالإضافة إلى غزوة وادي القرى كما ذكرنا
and the battle of Wadi al-Qura as we mentioned is considered a separate battle a battle that involved that is separate from Khaybar as some scholars saw
بعد ذلك يأتي الكلام عن سرايا النبي
after that we will discuss the messages and the battles that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sent out and did not participate in
سرايا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغت 60 سرية
the sarayas of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
أرسلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Reached 60. There were 60 of them. That the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sent out his companions for missions and battles.
ترتيب الغزوات إلى آخر أعوام الغزوات.
We covered the battles that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم participated in.
السرايا يرجع تاني من أول سرية.
One by one as they occurred, and then we'll cover the sarayas one by one as they occurred as well. From the first day of Hijrah till the end, inshallah. So next lesson, inshallah, we will start with that, with the saraya.
Wa
sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Any questions?
يعني نعم تشير إلى اتجاه تبوك. اتجاه تبوك. نعم هي الآن في حدود السعودية.
تبوك is at the borders
في حدود السعودية.
Of Saudi Arabia today.
900 كيلومتر. نعم. أيوة طيب أخونا يقول بينها وبين المدينة 900 كيلومتر.
Your brother here says that between Tabuk and Al-Madina 900 kilometers.
الأوقية 12 درهما.
How much is أوقية؟
الفضة حوالي
3 درهم. أوقية is 12.
ممكن تتذكر الأوقية بمهور أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
صداق أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
When he marries.
12 أوقية ونشا.
12 أوقية.
صداق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الصداق اللي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And every أوقية as we said is 12.
12 أوقية ونشا. والنش هو نصف أوقية. طب 12 أوقية.
So his.
12 درهم.
His dowry is 12 أوقية and a half.
كم؟
And we said every أوقية is 12 درهم.
ولا 480 كيف تطلع 480؟ هو المهم هيطلع في النهاية 500 درهم بس مش عارف كيف يمكن 40 درهم الأوقية هي 12 ونص المفروض انها تطلع انا كان الأوقية 40 درهم معلش انا اخطأت لما قلت 12
بس forgive me الأوقية made a mathematical mistake the mistake is أوقية is equal or equivalent to 40 dirhams like $40 or 40 dinars and the dowry that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to give to his wives is 12 and a half uqiyya which is equivalent to 500 dirhams
لو قلنا 12 uqiyya والuqiyya 40 dirhams
if we said 12 uqiyya
480
and every uqiyya is 40 dirhams That will add up to 500 because 500 dirham is the amount of dowry that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to give to his wives.
الأوقية 40 درهم. أنا أخطأت لما قلت الأوقية 12 درهم.
I made a mistake when I said that الأوقية is equivalent to 12.
الأوقية
is actually equivalent to 400 درهم. And when we said عمر gave when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was asking for contribution to the battle when Umar gave 10 uqiyas that means he gave out 400 dirhams not 120
والنش اللي هو نصف أوقية يعني 20 يبقى المجموع 500 درهم هذا كان صدق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدرهم 2 جرام فاصل 970
درهم is equivalent to 2.95 grams
يعني قريبا من 3 جرامات فضة قريبا من 3 جرامات فضة
So a dirham is equivalent to 3 grams is equivalent to almost 3 grams of silver
نقول ان الصداق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حوالي 1500 تقريبا نقول 500
which means the dowry of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is all equivalent to almost 1500 grams of silver
1500 دولار تقريبا 1500 دولار تقريبا يعني بأسعار اليوم يعني
In today's prices, it is almost $1,500.
Another
measurement unit, which is al-mud. Al-mud means what is equivalent to two handfuls. Al-nasif is half of a handful, meaning one handful. Al-mud meaning two handfuls.
والله كأن هؤلاء قبله يعني الفلاسفة هؤلاء قبل يعني بزمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتوجد يعني الآن توجد عملات طبعا من أيام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانوا يستعملون الدنانير. سك للعملة. يعني ما كانت العملة تضرب يعني ما كان هناك عملة خاصة.
There was no specific currency for the Muslims in the days of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. But it happened later on during the days of Umar ibn al-Khattab. They started using their own currency. They used to use the dinar, the Roman dinar, and the dirham of the Persians.
يستعملون الدينار الذهبي.
Dinar was made of gold, which was a Roman currency. So it was layers of gold that they would inscribe on them the picture of Caesar or the wording of the Roman Empire.
يعني توجد دراهم دنانير ودراهم محفوظة في المتاحف.
There are in today in museums you will find dinars that show the picture of Caesar on it.
صورا عنها هي صورة هرقل نفسه.
There's a picture of Caesar himself on some of the dinars that do exist today in museums. And these are the currencies that the Muslims used to deal with during the days of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the Muslims had their own currency during the days of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that dinar was equivalent to 4.5 grams of gold. Dirham was, which is the Persian currency, was made of silver, and it was 3 grams of silver. Each dirham was equivalent to 3 grams of silver. And on them was the picture of Kisra, the king of the Persians, depending on who was the king at the time. Because the king, just like Caesar, the king of Persia, his name is Kisra. So every king they get is named Kisra. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد.